Amen. It's good to see everybody out at the home group meeting today. Amen. Let me make a note before I get into what I'm saying. I got a lot of emails recently, many wonderful emails from many people on the teaching of Wilderness Truths for Modern Times. Thank you very much for those emails. If I have not gotten back to you, I apologize. I will do my very best. I'm on the radio, and so there's radio emails, and then there's Wilderness Truths for Modern Times emails, and so I will promise I will get back to you. It may be not as fast as what you would like, but anyway, thank you for the emails, and I will get back to you. So let's go ahead and get into Wilderness Truths for Modern Times number 83 today, and we're going to be looking at a place of rest, but let's go ahead and start, as we do and as our custom, we go ahead and we look at what we talked about last time. And the last time we talked about a place of beginnings, and you know, that it was really, really good. And so there was a number of points that we looked at last time, and so to kind of point our spirit in that direction and get us thinking, in the right direction. We'll go ahead and quickly go over these points, and then we'll get into what the Lord has for us today. Amen. The first point is in a place of beginnings. For us to be able to hear God's voice, we must not be listening to other voices. Wow, that would preach really well in a lot of churches. But for us to be able to hear God speak to us, we must not be listening to other voices. And many people, I mean, God is speaking, He really does. And I can't hear them, people say, well, because they're listening to other voices that are in the world, and the world will drown out God's voice. I will promise you that. Our love for ourselves and the things that we want and our plans and all of these things will drown out God's voice. So if we want to be able to hear God speak, then we must be still and quiet and allow God to speak to us. And if we are, He will speak to us. Amen? We also looked at that place of beginning, and there was a place of life and a place of death. Well, at that same measure of death and separation that we find in the wilderness of Bathsheba for disobedience, there is also life and fellowship for our obedience. But God always operates at the same measure, You know, our forgiveness is not unlimited, and our forgiveness is not unqualified. Our forgiveness is qualified. Jesus says, as we forgive, we shall be forgiven. Or at that same measure that we forgive, at that same measure we will be forgiven. So if we forgive only a little bit, well, then we're only going to be forgiven a little bit. And so at the same measure of death and separation for our disobedience, there is that life and fellowship for our obedience. The third point talks about rewards that we looked at last time. Rewards, both blessings and curses, are based on our actions. What we get, either a blessing or a curse, will be based upon our actions, out from our motives, our thoughts, and our intentions of our heart. Deuteronomy 28:1-68 talks about 42 rewards. They're never a reward. It's something that we get, again, based upon our behavior and our action. And 1-68, as I said, 42 rewards, 14 are blessings, and 28 are curses. Isn't that interesting? That God would maybe bless in this situation twice as much as bless somebody. But in that chapter, there were 42 rewards. 14 were blessings and 28 were curses. I don't know about you, but I know when I get a blessing, sometimes that doesn't move me very close to the Lord. But I will tell you, when God draws me up, when God brings something into my life to get my attention, we could call that a curse, but when He would do that to get our attention, I will tell you that will draw me a lot closer to the Lord. The fourth point is moving in truth knowingly or unknowingly does not change the truth, but it changes the reward. Let me say that again. Moving in truth knowingly or unknowingly does not change the truth, but it changes the reward. God judges knowing and willful sin differently than he does of unknowing or unwillful sin. Wow. So God will look at our heart, he knows all things, and if he sees that we sin willfully, we purposely do that, because when we sin, we know, we miss the mark. Sin is to know right and do wrong. So when we purposely sin, God will judge that, and he will deal with that differently than if we sin in an accidental way. And yes, we can do that. Point number five, so too our believing or not believing changes the reward we receive after this life. Point number six, faith and belief always lead to discovery in life. Let me say that again. Faith and belief always leads to discovery in life. Life is one of man's greatest treasures. I don't know about you, Mike, but the older I get, the more I enjoy life. And the older I get, the more, as you were even saying today, the more I like just getting away and with God. Don't get me wrong, I like people, I love my wife, I love my friends and stuff. But there's just something special, just time with God and just being with Him.
Amen.
Wow. Point number seven, in the wilderness of Beersheba, Hagar made a discovery of life from a well of water that God showed her. But it took, for her to make that discovery of that well of water, it took her despair, hopelessness, and almost sure death, to be found in her life. Wow. And eight, discoveries of true life, and that's in quotation. Anytime you see the word true in the Bible, when Jesus says, I am the true vine, that is very, very particular, because that word true means it takes it from the physical and puts it into the spiritual. So you see that word true, it always takes it from the physical and it puts it into the true, like Jesus said, I'm the true vine. But discovery of true life is not found in the land that flows with milk and honey. But it only is found, so that true life is only found in the wilderness. And, in the wilderness where we can find life. Only in the wilderness can we find the giver of eternal water that springs up into eternal life. So there was a lot of good stuff last time we came together here, and we'll go ahead and kind of build on some of those concepts here in Wilderness Truths of Modern Times, number 83. And we're starting the very familiar passage of Scripture, and that's Psalm 23, 2-3. The text is, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. So now, if you have your Bible and you want to make some annotations here, I would go ahead and I would... Let me go through and then we'll make some annotations. So, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. So today what we're doing is we're going to talk about a place of rest. Now, rest is where God wants to take us to. Let me say that again. Rest is the place that God wants to take us to. A lot of people want to go to heaven. Well, I want to go to heaven, and I'm going to go to heaven. But before I go to heaven, God has to take me to this place of rest. And rest is beyond faith. Let me say that again. Rest in God is beyond faith. Actually, rest there is faith, and then there is trust. And then there is the place that God desires to take us to, and that is a place of rest. And unless God can work in our life and bring us through faith and, to more into trust, then God will never, ever be able to bring us to a place of rest. Isaac came to Beersheba after living in Ger, a distance of about 22 miles. Ger was the capital of Abimelech's king of the Philistines. Isaac's experience in Ger was one of strife over wells, And we see that in Genesis 26 and 20. And the herdsmen of Ger did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, The water is ours. And he called the name of the well Hirsch, because they strove with Him. Rest is the place that God would want to take us. And a leading of God comes after a work of God. Let me say that again. A leading of God always comes after a work of God. So if we go back to Psalm 23, 2 and 3, and we know the annotated parts, He maketh me, underline that, to lie down, and then notice what happens. He makes you lie down, and then He leads me. Wow. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture, then He leads me beside the still waters. Then, here's another work of God, He restores my soul, then He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. So a leading of God comes after a work of God. So if there's no work of God in our life, if God is not able to work in our life, then there'll be no leading of God in our life. The leading of God comes out of God working in our life. We must allow God to work in our life, because the work then will lead to the leading, which is critical. The leading is always into a place of rest. Let me say that again. And this leading, after the work of God, is always into a place of rest where He wants to take us. But here in Genesis 26 and 20, while in Ger, Isaac, and there was a big strife, and it just, you know, so something had to be done. When Isaac moved far enough away from Ger, the strife ceased. He found enlargement in Rehoboam, which means room or space. He had comfort, a large household, and great holdings of cattle. And we see that in Genesis 26, 22. And he moved from hence and digged another well, and for there they strove not. And he called the name of Rehoboam, and he said, for now the Lord has made room for me, and we shall be fruitful in this land. Sometimes in God, sometimes we have to move away from some people. We have to move away from some situations. We have to move away from different things in our life to find rest for ourselves. The older I get, the more I realize that. Even some of my Christian friends, the older I get, the more I see the relationships that I have had with some people. I had to move away from those relationships so that I could get rest for my soul. That's just, it's just odd how that works out, but we can see this in Genesis 26 and 2, but sometimes we just have to move away, and maybe that kind of dovetails into the little discussion we're talking about judgment, because if we do not move away from ungodly, unrighteous, unspiritual people, even though they may be family, even though they may be your friend, but if you do not move away from them, and I'm not saying physically move away like Isaac did, but just move away from their friendship or move away from their fellowship, you will get in trouble. You will get in trouble. I have seen it time and time again. And so we must be very, very careful. There always must be that separation. Amen? Yet, he left his land of room and fruitfulness for the wilderness of Beersheba. We see that in Genesis 26, 23, and 24. Now remember, we are in the wilderness of Beersheba here. And he went up from camps to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night, and said, I am the Lord, I am the God of Abraham, my father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for thy servant Abraham's sake. This was the second time that God confirmed his covenant with the Jewish people, and with the Jewish people. But real peace and rest is only found in following the leading of God. So God told him to move to this other area, and there was peace, and there was rest. When we do not follow God, when we do not follow His leadings, then there's just going to be confusion and just chaos, and our heart and our spirit will not be at peace. It is very important that we go ahead and we follow the leading of God so that we will be at peace in our heart and our spirit. A walk with God will entail often, though, the leading comfort and making of one's way sworn uncertainty. The Hebrew verb naha, which is Strong's 5095 translated believeth, indicates more than to leave. Naha is saying that the shepherd brings a person from one place of water to another place of water, or to be brought from one watering hole to the next watering hole. Also translated, to be brought from one place of provision to another place of provision. And we see that here in Genesis 26, how that Isaac was brought from this one place of provision, whether it was water, to a greater place of provision. Most Christians do not want to leave their comfort and arranged life. Let me say that again. Most Christians do not want to leave their comfort in their arranged life. You know, when I travel, it is not, you know, that we do, you know, that we don't enjoy the discomfort and the uncertainty. You know, that's not why, you know, we travel. Oh, no. But we travel because we enjoy the walk that we have with God in the unknown, in the uncertainty. And this is just, it's just wonderful. You know, that, you know, in the walk that we have with God in the unknown, to be able to minister to people that do not understand that. You know, when oftentimes when we get on the airplane, and after, say, almost 2 weeks of being gone, our soul is saying, our flesh is saying, go home, go home, go home. But our spirit is saying, no, stay a while. Stay another day or two. Stay another day. And enjoy the leading of God. It is amazing when we travel overseas, the things that God does for us, the things He arranges, and all of the, you know, just the leading of God just unfolds. Well, you will never come into that leading. You'll never come into that type of relationship with the Lord unless you leave some uncomfort, or leave your comfort in your arranged life behind. The number one fear of people not wanting to go to a different land and minister the gospel is fear of flying. Is fear of flying. And I always found that kind of amazing. In the wilderness, a place of water is also a place of rest. In the wilderness, and okay, I shared my story about the wilderness of when I was in Nunchuckawak in the Islamic Republic of the Mauritania. And I went out for a walk in the water, in the desert, and I didn't have any water. And let me tell you, in the wilderness, a place of water is also a place of rest. The strife over whales with Isaac experience in Gar is over. His rest is related in the name Sheba, or Sheba, which means seventh. For the word comes the Hebrew form of Shabbat, which is Sabbath, or on the day of rest. Wow. How important is water in the wilderness? Well, I will tell you, it is life and death. A tree of dates, shade, a place to rest. But remember that Jesus is our Shabbat. Jesus is our Shabbat. He is our rest. He is our Sabbath. The Sabbath is not a day of the week. It's not Sunday. Jesus is our rest. And He is, He is our Sabbath. Rest is renewing. Rest is renewing. This relates to the wilderness of Beersheba as a place of new beginnings. Now, this will go ahead and kind of talk about the topic, and that will be that new beginnings. The new covenant is in picture here. This unfolded in the name of Sheba, also meaning oath, Strong's 7650 through 7652, having to do with repeating an agreement seven times. Abimelech comes to Isaac at Beersheba to make a covenant, Genesis 26:26-31, or to renew the covenant which he had made earlier with Abraham. Wow, Genesis 21:32. God leads us to the wilderness for a time and a place of renewal. Let me say that again. God leads us to the wilderness. He leads us to those difficult times, those areas in our life that are, uncertain, and we can't figure it out, and it's just, they're just, it's going to overwhelm us. But God leads us there so that he can speak to our heart, so he can show us the way. And he brings us here also to a way of renewal. Amen. Matthew 28, 11, 28, 30. Sweetheart, can you go ahead and go there? Matthew 11, 28, 30. Wow. Amen. God leads us through our wilderness for a time and a place, a time of renewal. Amen. 11, 28 to 30.
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Amen. Very familiar, you know, text of scripture. I think it's good to read that, but it's very, very familiar text. But in that tells us where God wants to bring us to. He wants to bring us to a place of rest, that his yoke is easy. But you know what? For us to be able to come into the yoke of the Lord and come into that rest, that Shabbat that God has for us, is we must learn of him. Learning is the requirement for coming into the rest of God. Let me say that again. Learning of God is the requirement for being able to come into the rest of God. Again, faith, trust, rest. Many people never learn much about God, so they get just stuck in faith and believing. Well, that's good, but God has more than just faith and believing. God has trust. Though God slay me, yet I trust him. If I perish, I perish. Now that is a lot more than just faith. But God wants to take us on into that rest. So the only way that we'll be able to find that rest, or that rest, and discover that rest, is when we come in, you know, when we learn of God and see how meek and lowly Jesus is. Wow. Wow. Abraham, Isaac, and Hagar discovered water, rest, in the wilderness of Beersheba that led to the covenant. We too are brought into the wilderness to discover water and rest. We are brought into the wilderness to discover God's adequacy that will lead to a covenant between us and God. God brings us into the wilderness to either establish us or renew us. Let me say that again. God will bring us into these terrible situations and these areas that we don't understand, and they're just, you know, we just don't understand. They seem like sure death, like with Hagar. But God brings us into these areas so that he can either establish us or renew us. Well, how in the world can you be established in tough times and areas that are just confusion and just uncertainty? By pushing into God. By allowing God to do that work in you, and that will bring you that understanding. Again, Song of Solomon 8:5, which is my favorite verse, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Who is he coming up from the wilderness leaning on the Beloved? The Beloved is the Lord. And the more we can lean on the Lord, on our Beloved, in difficult times and situations and circumstances we don't understand, the more he'll be able to renew us and establish us. Amen. Unlike Hagar, the children of Israel never found rest. They never saw their inadequacies. Wow. The children of Israel never saw their inadequacies. One of the greatest truths you can ever discover is your inadequacies. It's better to know your weaknesses than your strengths. You know that? It is better to know your weaknesses than your strengths, because most people want to know how strong they are and their strength, and they can do all of this stuff. Well, in God, if we know our weaknesses, then we know how God, you know, that's our inadequacies. If we know our weaknesses, then God will be able to build us, Father, and we can work in our lives and help us in those infirmities, in those areas. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
This place is Hagar's spent bottle of water, which represented her inadequacies. The truth moves into this story that are reflected in the Gospel of John, chapter 4. So now I'm going to go ahead, and I need to open up your spirit here, because I'm going to take us a little deeper here. Amen. Here, Jesus meets the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus said unto her, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever, that's you and me, drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be, now notice, underline this in your Bible, shall be in him. The water, that everlasting life that we drink, where is it? It's in us. It's in us. And a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John 4:13-14. This new covenant, this well of water. So it's not an actual covenant like God had with the Jewish people, because God never made a covenant with Gentiles. And the Samaritan lady that Jesus was talking to was still Jewish, right? Was Jewish, but God never made a covenant with Gentiles. But this new covenant, you know, that many people call and are called that, is that well of water springing up unto everlasting life. It's provided for the whosoever in John 3:16. The well is in you. It's provided for your sake and for the sake of others. Let me say that again. The well in you is provided for your sake and for the sake of others. Remember, things in God we get are never for us. If God gives us $10, we're supposed to go ahead and give a portion of that to somebody else. Anything we get in God, we are not supposed to spend that on ourselves. Anything that God gives us, we're supposed to give a portion of that way. And so this everlasting life that we have, this well in us, is provided for our sake and for the sake of others. Wow. Notice the well of eternal life is in us. It is in us for our life and for our learning and for our teaching. Goes back to John 11:28, where to learn of Christ. And for others out from us, for our sake and for the sake of others. Wow. This well replaces Hagar's little bottle of water. It replaces, as it did in the life of the Samaritan woman, the coming again and again and again to those things was temporarily satisfied. You know, and the story, I always found it kind of interesting that the Samaritan woman would go to the well around 12 o'clock in the daytime. That's the hottest part of the day. Women would not go gather water at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. You gather water in the morning when it's cool, then you have water all day. But she was an outcast. Well, she was a prostitute, as we see, but she was an outcast. So she would have to come at the hottest part of the day, not in the morning when the other women came. Amen? The meager supply, the dissatisfying supply, the insufficient supply is undaunted, you know, by this well. The focus is changed from the supply to the supplier. Let me say that again. The focus here is changed from the supply, which is the water, to the supplier, that well. You know, Jesus gives us that well that is within us. Again, the well is in us. This is what the woman discovered. John 6:53, Jesus said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you will have no life in you. Wow. Powerful words. Unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, there will be no everlasting life in you. It was not about the water and her daily needs, the supply, but it was about the supplier who gives us rest, who gives us water, if we can discover and we can find that rest, what God has for us. That is found only in the wilderness. Wow, only in the wilderness. Not in the land that flows with milk and honey. Amen? Mm-hmm. This well is inside of us. It's a big, big spiritual principle. Let me say that again. This well that is inside of us, that eternal life that is inside of us. Again, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you will have no life in you. is the big spiritual principle. In Luke 17:21, Jesus says, "Behold." Now, anytime you see that word "behold," you have to do what it says. Stop, look, and listen. Anytime you're reading the Bible and it says "behold," you stop, you look, and you listen. So, behold, the kingdom of God is where?
Within you.
It's within you. Unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you will have no life in you. The kingdom of God is within you. And of course, we know the kingdom of God is not a place, right? The kingdom of God is not heaven. The kingdom of God is not a church. It's none of that. Romans 14 tells us what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is righteousness, and it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is one place, and the kingdom of God is righteousness and joy. And that's why the people never got it. The Jewish people never got Jesus. I come giving you the kingdom of God. I come giving you righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. But they were looking for a king and so forth and so on. They were actually looking for heaven, but that's not the way that works. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
This well that is within us, the well that is within us is ours for the asking. It's ours for the asking. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your word and for your many blessings, Father. Lord, we thank you for this teaching, Father, Lord God, that well is within us, Father, Lord. The righteousness and the joy and the peace and the Holy Ghost, Father, Lord, is within us, Father. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father, Lord God. Work in our lives. Use us the more, Father, Lord God. Use us the more. Teach us, Father, Lord God. Teach us, Father, Lord. Let us learn of you, Father. Learn how meek and humble you are, Father. And we just love you and we thank you. Lord, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.